Hello everyone, Nexa here at Evolving RPG. Continuing on with the DM series, I am joined with my good friend Kirby. I've been knowing Kirby for right at 15 or 20 years, and we're going to have a discussion about what it is to be a DM and GM. But before we get into that, I want to give Kirby a chance to introduce himself, maybe tell us a little bit about himself. So the floor is yours, Kirby.
All right, thank you, Nexa. Well, I'm Kirby. I've been living on this earth a long time, and I started telling stories when I was really young. You know, I grew up, I'm going to start dating myself. I grew up watching those Saturday morning cartoons with all the Super Friends and all the TV shows of Marvel superheroes and DC superheroes. And, you know, I just decided to start telling stories with, you know, my action figures and stuff like that. And from then on, I grew up and needed some kind of type of, you know, way I could use that, that type of, you know, storytelling. And I found D&D and Marvel superhero games, and that kind of channeled my storytelling as the bard and kind of got my way to channel this creative ability that I've had.
Indeed. So jumping right on in, let's just get right at it. How long have you been playing role-playing games for?
Well, I started just out of college, so we're probably looking at least 25 years now.
And the follow-up with that is that since this is the DM series, how long have you been DMing, or how many years of DMing do you have under your belt?
It's hard to say. If I'd have to take a guess, I'd probably say about 18 years. I think right before I met you, I think I was still playing Marvel with a few of our friends, like Grey Tome and stuff like that. And that's actually where I started with the Marvel superhero genre. And then from there, Grey Tome decided he was going to go off to college over in Eastern. And when he left, I pretty much took over the reins that he was running and kind of designed my own Marvel series from there.
And I heard a lot of positive things about that too, about how when you took over the game, they were really enjoying it. Not to put down Grey Tome's game, but I heard that there was a lot of positive things that you were doing with that game. Good stuff.
Well, I was big into comics then too, and I was reading a lot of the mainstream stuff back then. And I thought that it would be kind of cool to actually kind of take and like integrate the stories that they were doing in that type of, you know, in that time frame, and explore my own versions of them and kind of make my own conclusions of what might happen in the comics. And they were playing the comics as I was seeing them go through.
Okay. So if you had to pick, what would be your favorite role-playing game?
As much as I have to say that it would be the superhero genre, I honestly think that D&D is still my first love. Because I think a lot of the stories that I've made for the D&D sections and campaigns that I've written, I think are, well, better developed, I think. And I think are actually ones I remember the most. I don't remember much of my Marvel stuff. But I know that a lot of the stuff that I did do, I hear a lot of people had good things about. And I think, even though I play like a lot of superhero games, I still think the D&D drive is cool. Even though they've had so many different types of ways you could play D&D. You know, the different editions and who's favorite, who's favorite. It's evolved over the years as far as how, you know, the world has been with the different types of gaming and types of levels of gaming. So I think that's what I can say about the D&D side.
Okay, that's fair enough. So, and going right along with that question, What is your favorite role-playing game to actually be a DM? I'm assuming you're going to say D&D, but I just want to give you a chance just in case. I could be wrong.
Don't get me wrong, I liked running Marvel because that was my first actual GM role, being the storyteller, being the bard. That was my first time being a GM. And I think Marvel, the first Marvel RPG, was the easiest to learn because it was so simplistic, but yet not because of the things you could do with the rules. You could manipulate the rules and kind of do them. They were open-ended in a lot of places. And actually, myself and Grain Tome, actually, what we did was we actually devised our own set of rules toward the end that made more sense with the different lucky breaks and stuff that we could do. So it was a little bit, so it was more challenging per se, because when you did a lucky break and then you just automatically succeeded. But we were thinking as far as the lower you went on the lucky breaks, the double ones, the double twos, the double threes, they shouldn't be the same as a 99 or an 88. So we devised a way where we were able to get that to balance out, and you just barely, it was more of an actual lucky break. You just made it by the skin of your teeth, as opposed to being, the being just a miracle roll, which would be like a double zero or a 99.
Now, I want to shed a little light on this for our listeners in that Greytone actually used to play Top Secret with myself and Ray, who was actually the DM or Artemagnus. Like I say, it goes by many names. And in Top Secret, there were lucky breaks and criticals. And then so he decided to incorporate that into his Marvel game, which I thought was very interesting. I thought it was very cool because when I played Marvel with Greytome, he was kind of, I don't want to say necessarily say bad thing, but he was a little stingy when it came to, he was by the books, and it was, I had to save a very long time to get karma. And then when he had these new sets of rules where you're getting lucky breaks, he seemed like he was handing out karma like water. So I miss those, but I just wanted to give context where that came from.
And I remember you talking about that in length when we've sat down with Grain Tome later on, as we reminisced about different things that we did with Marvel, and how it was pretty much, you were like, well, back in my day, it took me forever to get to this level, and you guys made it in like two strides of an adventure.
Ooh, definitely good times. But moving right along. Now, Kirby, can you share a story that where you were a DM and you had something put together and it came out, you were proud of the outcome, whether or not it was what you had planned for or it just happened, but something where you had a story or you had an adventure where it ended in such a way that it made you just so proud that you actually DM'd that game. Can you share one a, such a story with us?
Absolutely. It happened a few years ago at Gen Con. I ran this adventure that I wrote for D&D, which I'm super proud of, and it's one of the first adventures that I completely finished. And there's a lot of times that I don't completely finish something. I usually get most of it done, and then I just kind of, when I get to the actual gaming table, I pretty much use a lot of, ad-libbing and finish the rest. I have kind of an idea of what I'm going to do, and then I just ad-lib the rest. But this particular adventure, and I will call what its name is, it's called The Lone Guardian. It was pretty much a very epic adventure. And the group that I had played with went through the entire adventure and actually did something that I hadn't thought of in the game. And it actually made me complete the story, and after I was done, I was so excited that the way the players had played and finished the adventure, and pretty much what I would say called the good ending, if you're trying to do like a like a video game or something like that, where they have a bad, a good, and excellent ending. Well, they pretty much made everything full circle that I wrote an epilogue and I sent it in an email to the people that played the adventure. And it was just so great that it was completely finished. And I've run that game about 3 or 4 times.
Well, and what did they do? Give us the specifics.
I don't really want to go into specifics because I don't really want to ruin it, but I guess there's a lot of people that...
That's a fair point, though. I understand.
Yeah, it's a fair point that, you know, a lot of these people probably won't get into this game because, you know, they don't know me. But basically, the Lone Guardian was a stone statue that was in the middle of the desert. And it was actually...
If you're talking, Kirby, we lost you.
I'm sorry. Am I back on?
You are back on. Sorry.
Okay. So, basically, it was a stone statue that was in the middle of the desert. That was actually the top of the temple that to the god of the sun, which is Pelor. And it was actually a stone statue. There was actually a golden statue of the angel. And basically, the players were supposed to find this and dig deep into the sand and go through the temple and get to the bottom of it, which was this healing fountain, to get a healing salve that saved, like get the waters to save the girl they were trying to heal from this curse. And along the way, they see a journal of a bell keeper and the statue keeper of the temple. And it tells his sad tale how he was unfortunately caught in the whole ordeal of this, of the temple being sunken deep into the sand. And most of the players that I had played with the adventure left his body there as they fled the temple, as the temple was sinking back into the sand at the end. And these adventurers this time actually went and grabbed the body and saved him. And when they did that, they actually healed him with the waters they had from the temple, because they had enough for him and enough for the daughter. And when they did that, that was really cool, I thought. And then they took the money and they used the money they found and the money that they got from the rich landowner, that's daughter that they saved, and they used it to rebuild the temple of Pelor and put it back into place there with the statue and everything. And it was really cool because the place that they were at had no religion and the gods had pretty much forsaken that area. It was kind of in dark sun, and they pretty much brought the Pelor faith back. And that I thought was really cool that they did all the points, and there were some things I didn't see there when they did it, and it just was really cool that they did that.
Now, I'm going to put you on the spot, and I'll just ask for forgiveness. But would you be opposed to Epilogue 1, Part 1 and Part 2 being posted to the website?
Part 1 and Part 2 of what?
The Lone Guardian Epilogue.
No, absolutely. I can give that to you.
No need. I have it.
Well, you can definitely put it on it there then. Now, you can absolutely do that. If you want, I think there's other things that I have on there that if you want to put on there, as far as I think I gave you a prologue for it too, if I'm not mistaken, because I always like to try to get players into the games and try to get them, you know, excited about what they're going to play by writing a little, you know, adventure prologue before, so that they're waiting to play the game. I do that a lot of times when our friends get together and go to Gen Con and play games there.
Yeah, I might need the prologue. I just seem to have the epilogue, but yep. So, first of all, thank you for that. The second thing is that the flip side to that is that, can you share something that, an instance where you were frustrated as a DM where you probably thought, like, why am I even doing this? Give us a good story or a scenario where you just was very frustrated and how you dealt with it.
I haven't really had that many experiences, but I did have one where I was playing with another mutual friend of ours, and this is like one of the first games that we had played together. And I was running a Marvel game that I had wrote, and I believe it was Honey, I Shrunk the Adventures, what the name of it was called. I don't remember many of the details. I know what they had. It had started with a museum heist that the gem that was on display had been stolen, but no one could figure out how it was stolen, and it turns out it was shrunk. And so the villain, who I unfortunately don't remember his name, ended up riding ants out and taking the miniaturized gem with him into the mouse holes and into like the museum passageways itself and underground. And the way it was done, where when the players or the heroes went to the scene, they were shrunk by accident. And I kind of had the doorway open for them, and that particular person had to a player was felt like he was being kind of shuffled into the story. It wasn't he didn't it was
Your mic went off again.
I'm sorry. I don't know how far I was back, but
You said that the player was felt that he was shuffled into the story.
and that's basically what I was getting at. He was on like a one rail into the story, and he wasn't really happy with that. And he kind of felt me kind of kind of made me feel bad about that. And I just took it. I said, well, this is I've ran this before, and I've had good positive feedback on it. I mean, it's still a good adventure. If you guys want to run through it, I can. But it's just something that just the way the story unfolded. And he did finish the adventure, and he did like it. But that particular point made me feel kind of low, because I guess I could have done a different way, but I thought that was the easiest way to get the players into the adventure, and I didn't want to take a lot of time trying to have the players get to the point where I wanted to make.
I understand that. When you mentioned player, that's a good segue into my next question. Have you ever, well, most people have, but I'm just gonna ask it. Have you ever had to deal with like a problem player? And if so, can you explain what the problem was or what the problem was with the player and how you dealt with it?
Absolutely. And I'm going to have to tell you this too, because I'm also going to quote the lone wolf syndrome, because I
Yes.
did have I and everyone does. I mean, everyone gets that one player or two players that are going to do the exact opposite of what the other players are going to do. And in this particular situation, it was a good friend of mine. And we were hanging out for years, and we were playing each other's games. And I was running an adventure, and I had set up miniatures. And I also had this really cool tower I got from the Mage Knight, I guess, game. But I used it for just a miniature, and it was like a castle tower. And he had the idea in his head that it was full scale to his miniature, which means there was only like two or three, levels to the tower. And they were actually the premise of the adventure is they were running through trying to find these red caps that were, terrorizing the countryside. So they get to the temple, and or they get to the tower, I should say. And he decides, since he's a druid, he's going to turn himself into a bird and fly to the top of the tower and go in through the top, while everyone else gets to go through the bottom of the tower and go straight up, thinking that he was only a couple of couple levels up. And this tower was huge. This tower had like 8 or 9 levels. And of course, yes, I made it to the point where you had to go through the bottom all the way to the top to fight the big bad that was at the top. So he got to the top and took out a couple guards because, as I told him, it was very tough to get up there. He was very stubborn enough to talk his way to getting all the way up to the top, and he was trying to get the door open. And after much, after I guess much conversations with the two of us of him not being able to do it, he finally rolled the dice, and I said, "Well, the dice has fallen where they may. You get the door open." So now he gets down into the tower where he finds the big boss and fights him on his own and gets his butt kicked. So now the rest of the game, which is the 3-hour session that we ran, he waited for the entire rest of the party to get up to the tower to save him. So basically how I dealt with that is he had to wait for 3 or 4 hours where he could have been playing while the other adventurers had saved him. And now the other adventurers, who were the other players, were the ones that also were kind of chided by this guy because this guy was a lone wolf. They had the bragging rights to say they had saved their lone wolf. And that seemed to chide him a little bit, and that seemed to sheepish him a little bit, and it seemed to help things in that retrospect. But that's kind of how I dealt it. I mean, basically he had a hand of cards dealt to him, and he played his deck, and that's where he got.
Okay. Fair enough, fair enough. So, this question may sound similar to the a previous question I asked you, but it's subtly different. What do you find frustrating about DMing? What's your greatest pain point when you're a DM?
Okay, I would have to say, and you're gonna get shocked at this, I'm gonna have to say myself, because I was a very timid, very nervous person when I started playing D&D and anything. I mean, I had a very hard time speaking in front of people. I got so nervous. And I think, actually, believe it or not, D&D got me out of my shell, especially when I started running. Because the nervousness and all that actually kind of, I got so used to kind of doing that and kind of actually working with it that I ended up kind of overcoming it for the most part. I still get nervous when I talk to people, and I still get nervous playing D&D, and I still make mistakes because I get nervous, but we all do. And I think that's probably one of my biggest things as in playing and running D&D. I'd also like to add too is that I do have a small a bad procrastination problem. So like when I run D&Ds, getting the time to get everything set up and get anything ready, and that's why when I mentioned prior that a lot of my adventures were never finished because a lot of times I would work till the last minute and then run on the seat of my pants. And for the most part, the adventures would still be great, but I wouldn't remember much after the ones that I have written down. But I would have to say myself as far as the biggest pain, but the biggest joy too, because I do get that rush when things are done, and I get the and a lot of times, and 9 times out of 10, I get the praise from all my players who really enjoyed the good experience, because that's what I like to do when I run my games. I want them to have fun. And I want it to be a movie that plays in their head, and I want it to be a grand adventure that they'll remember. And one of the best parts of that was I do run games, like I said, that I've wrote before, and I've run them a couple times with different groups. And a lot of times I do it in the local game shops too that I know with friends who own them. And there was one that I did for a D&D game day that I ran, which was the Lone Guardian. And they asked me if I would do it again in 3 months, and I did. And there was one person that was in my game the first time, and he came back with three other new friends. And I said, "Hey, this is going to be just about the same, right?" And he goes, "Yeah, I know. I really like it, and I want to do it again." And that made me feel really good. So like I said, I like to add a little flares to my games, and I like to make sure everyone's having fun. And that's basically how I DM. And it's like,
I was just gonna add on to that, the fact that I never saw any of your, where you said it was you, I never saw any of that, I guess, frustration or pain point. All of the games you ran to me seemed like you were very well prepared, and I enjoyed them very immensely.
well, thank you. It's just I must have a very good place where I hide all that nervousness while I'm running, but I actually use it to fuel things too. So it's kind of like a blessing and a curse.
So, the million-dollar question. What advice would you offer to other DMs, whether they're brand new DMs or experienced DMs or people who are still finding their way? What have you learned from your many years of DMing that you would pass on to someone else?
I would start by saying that have fun. That would be the biggest thing. Make sure your players are having fun. I've been in games as a player that when I haven't had fun, it doesn't make the game fun. And if you're bogged down by rules, that gets it kind of tough. But when you're the DM or GM, you're able to manipulate what you can if you need to. Or if you're that sort of way, or you can try and move things along, but I always want to make sure that the players are having fun. I also like to make sure that players get the best experiences from them, and I use a lot of miniatures. I use a lot of different things. I've used HeroScape before, I think, which is the one with the tiles sometimes. I did kind of like a gladiator match with the tiles where I made the Coliseum. I'm visual a lot, but I'm also, I have a lot of, imagination in there too. I would just say that when you're doing these things, you just have to kind of look to yourself and say, well, what kind of game do I want to make? What kind of story do I want to tell? How are the players going to go from point A to point B? And I think that's basically what I do as a DM is I'm just the resident bard. I'm the one that's telling the story. I'm the one that's letting you live in the adventure, and you are doing what you can do in the pretty much parameters that I set for you. And I'm not saying that this is a closed-ended thing. You can do whatever you want when you're in one of my games. I will pretty much be enough ad-libbing where I can get you from point A to point B if that's what you want to do. And that's basically what a DM is supposed to do. So, I know I had a, I know I'm, rambling on about these things and that, but it's basically, I guess, bottom line is that you just want to try and figure out what you want to do and what kind of story you want to tell. And with the different versions of the different games, rules would be nice to know, which they are, because they set the groundwork for what you're going to do. And a lot of times what I do is I make my own worlds and I make my own realms. And when I do that and I make my own adventures, I actually learn the rules a lot better when I write an adventure than I do when I use a module. And I realized that when I played fourth edition, because I bought a bunch of modules so I could learn the rules before I wrote an adventure. But it took an adventure, which was a Lone Guardian, to make me learn the rules and actually learn the rules by writing that adventure. And I had to write that one to go in between one of the modules that I had to another module. So that was pretty funny on that.
Just to kind of piggyback on that, I have another follow-up question. So when you write your own, I would say, modules or your own adventures, do you, I'm sorry, I actually lost my train of thought there, where I was going with this. Oh, okay, got it. Do you ever change the rules, or do you modify the rules, or have your own set of house rules that you find that after reading the rules of whatever game you're playing, whether it's D&D, Mutants and Masterminds, Marvel, you say, eh, I like my rule better?
I haven't done that in D&D, but I liked the stuff that me and Greytome did in the Marvel games. I think when we did the Lucky Break stuff, I think that really helped with our games. I think they heightened the way we play the games, because you could get a lucky break and you would roll a double ones and you still would fail, but it still would be like almost the skin of your teeth. You could still make it. And I think as far as running the adventures, with the D&D and the Marvel, I always want to have the players have fun, and you're not going against. I've had DMs where they've been against the players, and that's just not what D&D and any other role playing is about. It's what I feel is it's about you going through someone else's story, and there's a point A and there's a point B, and it's a good tale all around. And I try to make sure that that's the way it's going to be. And if it just so happens that when you go somewhere and the dice fall the way they shouldn't fall, per se, when the DM, as of me, makes a roll that would critically injure a player or hurt a player in the crucial time, same roundabouts, if a character from is like a hero is trying to defeat a boss or a villain, that also, it's kind of like a one shot. I want to make sure that it goes out further so that everyone enjoys the whole experience.
Okay.
That's very fair.
And I guess to
You went mute.
I'm sorry. I would have to say that I would add like extra hit points to the monsters, or I would flub a couple rolls that would critically injure a player, or things of that nature, so that those parameters would be met.
So, one more follow-up question, because you're bringing up some good stuff. Would you consider yourself more of a combat DM, or as the term is, the evil DM? Would you consider yourself more of a storyteller, or would you consider yourself a kind of like somewhere in the middle where you would be considered fair? You like to sprinkle combat. You like a good story, but you're somewhere in the middle. And there's really no right or wrong answer. I just want to say that, even though I said the one is the evil DM, some people like hack and slash. That's why we have the term hack and slash.
I always like a good story, and I've had people tell me before too that when I ask them, because I'm very insecure a lot of times with when I run a game, how people liked it and everything, because like I said, I want to make sure everyone's had fun. And a lot of the feedback that I get is that I'm very good at telling a story, and I'm very good to going from point A to point B and to point C and point D. And to quote somebody that told me this, you always have a purpose in my game, and you know exactly where you're going for the most part and what you need to do, and everything makes sense. You're fighting this because you're doing this, and you're doing that because you're doing this. And you can go about any way you want to as long as the story dictates. And I think that's the answer that I think would be the best thing that sums up as far as how I run a game.
And so I'm going to take this time to shamelessly plug Evolving RPG again, because there is a DM type under the tool sections of the site where you can answer 11 questions and it will determine what your DM type is. Just going to put that out there. With that being said, I am done with questions, sir. So what I would like to do now is turn it over to you for any final thoughts you might want to have, or anything that maybe I didn't discuss that you want to raise.
Well, thank you. I pretty much said a lot, and I'm pretty long-winded, as we all know. But I think to sum up, I'm the bard, the storyteller, and I'm there to make sure I tell a good story and everyone has a good time, and also to make sure that everything goes the way that the story is supposed to be. And I've had good feedback from that, and I'm very happy that I've had good feedback from those people. I hope that you all do the same, that you try and learn from all of these different things, all these different GM interviews, because they've all been interesting, because I've actually gone through all of them so far, and all of them have been already released. And I also, kind of challenge you to go and look at if you're going to become a DM or you're already being a DM, to maybe look at your players and see what they want to do, and maybe try to add some flair into your games. One of the last things, and I keep drawing to this Lone Guardian because, like I said, it's my proudest one I've done. I actually wrote a lullaby for that one that led clues to the actual statue in the desert and what they were supposed to do. And I think a lot of them remembered that, and I actually sung it in the adventure. And I think doing little things like that actually enhance games too, because people remember that. I also started reading a book that Tracy Hickman and his son wrote that was something about extreme GMing or extreme DMing. And that talked about all different flares that they put in their games and what you could do with your own stuff. And that kind of gave me a spark, and that kind of gave me ideas to do that in my own games to make it memorable and fun. But that's all I have, and I thank you for having me.
Well, thank you. I'd like to say it again. Thank you, Kirby, for being a guest on Evolving RPG Podcast. Thank you, the listener, for listening to these podcasts. I hope you found this DM series enjoyable. And I think in the future we will definitely get that epilogue out there because that's some good story. I forgot about it, but I do actually have it, and you're gonna get me that prologue. But I just want to say one more time, thank you so very much, Kirby. Thank you, the listeners, for listening. And I will actually have Kirby back on in a panel discussion coming up relatively soon. So you'll get to hear more of his thoughts about some tough questions that I'm going to ask. So thanks, everyone. And thank you again, and tune in next time.